Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we have a very packed show for you today, diving into some unexpected hardware longevity and a critical security failure in the open source ecosystem.
That's right. We're looking at a fascinating experiment where a developer managed to run Google's massive new Gemma 4 model on a decade-old server without any GPUs. It really challenges the narrative that you need cutting-edge silicon to participate in modern AI.
We also have a serious alert regarding a supply chain attack that hit Red Hat Cloud Services. Attackers managed to compromise over 30 NPM packages using a self-propagating worm. And the way they bypassed traditional security is something every DevOps team needs to hear.
Plus, in our roundup, we'll cover a rather embarrassing exploit involving Meta's AI support agents, Cloudflare's new WebGL fingerprinting requirements, and some growing pains for Anthropic's Cloud Code CLI. Let's get right into it.
Our first story today comes from a blog post on Point.Free that really caught my eye. The title is "A 10-Year-Old Xeon is All You Need," and it details a successful attempt to run Google DeepMind's newly released Gemma 4 model on some seriously vintage hardware.
When you say vintage, we are talking about a 2016-era server equipped with an Intel Xeon E5-2620V4 processor and 128 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM. And the kicker here is that there is absolutely no GPU involved in this setup. It is entirely CPU-bound.
Which is wild when you consider the model we are talking about. Gemma 4 was just released in early April 2026. This specific version is a 26 billion parameter mixture of experts model. Typically, if you look at the specs required to run a 26 billion parameter model, you are looking at thousands of dollars in modern NVIDIA or AMD GPUs.
Exactly. The mixture of experts, or MoE, architecture, is designed to be more efficient by only activating certain neural network pathways for specific tokens, but it still requires a massive amount of memory bandwidth to shuttle those weights back and forth. And memory bandwidth is exactly where a 2016 server with DDR3 RAM is going to suffer the most.
So how did the author actually pull this off? You can't just download standard PyTorch or even the mainline Llama.cpp and expect this to run smoothly on a decade-old Intel chip.
Right. They had to go incredibly low level. The setup required using a highly specialized fork of the Llama.cpp library known as IKLlama.cpp. But even with the fork, it wasn't plug and play. The author had to manually configure over 24 specific command line flags just to overcome the memory bandwidth limitations and get the model to infer at a readable speed.
Those flags were essentially micromanaging how the CPU caches data and how threads are allocated, right? It highlights the fundamental bottleneck of older CPUs compared to modern GPU-accelerated inference. GPUs are basically massive memory bandwidth engines, which is why they excel at this. CPUs, especially from 2016, just can't move the data fast enough natively.
That is the core technical hurdle. The compute itself, the actual math required for inference, isn't necessarily the problem for a beefy older Xeon. It is entirely about how fast you can feed the model weights from the DDR3 RAM into the processor's cache. By manually tuning those 24 flags, the author was able to optimize that pipeline just enough to make it viable.
This brings up a really interesting debate about the democratization of AI. On one hand, proving that you can run a state-of-the-art 26 billion parameter model on hardware you can buy on eBay for a couple hundred dollars is amazing. It technically lowers the barrier to entry significantly.
I agree in theory, but I have to play devil's advocate here. Does it actually democratize access if the technical barrier requires finding an obscure fork of an inference engine and spending days tuning 24 undocumented command line flags? For the average user or even the average developer, that barrier is arguably higher than just renting a cloud GPU for a few cents an hour.
That is a fair point. It is definitely more of a hacker's triumph than a production-ready solution. But I think it serves as a powerful proof of concept. It shows that the open weights movement, combined with aggressive low-level software optimization, can squeeze incredible longevity out of e-waste.
It also speaks to the flexibility of the Gemma 4 architecture itself. Google DeepMind specifically designed this family of models to scale from edge devices all the way up to workstations. seeing it stretched back in time to a 2016 server is a testament to how adaptable these open weights models have become.
It will be interesting to see if the optimizations pioneered in forks like ikllama.cpp eventually make their way upstream into the main repositories. If that level of memory management can be automated, we might see a whole new life for older enterprise hardware. Moving from hardware to a very serious cybersecurity incident, we need to talk about a major supply chain attack that was disclosed on June 1st, 2026. Over 30 NPM packages under the official @redhat-cloud services scope were found to be compromised.
This is a massive breach of trust for a highly relied upon ecosystem. The malware involved has been dubbed Miasma, and researchers have identified it as a variant of the mini Shai-Hulud family. It is a credential-stealing worm that is particularly nasty in how it executes.
According to the incident report on GitHub, Miasma drops a 4.2 megabyte obfuscated payload that triggers automatically via a pre-install hook during the NPM installation process. That means the moment a developer or a build server runs NPM install on one of these compromised Red Hat packages, the malware executes before the package is even fully installed.
And what makes this incident truly alarming is the attack vector. Historically, we see these kinds of compromises when an individual maintainer's NPM token is stolen, maybe through a phishing attack or an exposed environment variable. But that is not what happened here.
Right. The attackers actually compromised the Red Hat Insights GitHub Actions OIDC Trusted Publisher Pipeline. OIDC, or OpenID Connect, was supposed to be the secure alternative to long-lived static tokens. It allows GitHub Actions to request short-lived tokens dynamically to publish packages.
Exactly. The industry pushed hard for OIDC to eliminate the risk of leaked static tokens. But this attack proves that if an adversary can compromise the CI/CD pipeline itself, they can use that trusted OIDC relationship to sign and publish malicious code perfectly legitimately. The registry sees a valid, authenticated request coming from the authorized GitHub repository,
which fundamentally shifts the threat model for open source maintainers. It is no longer just about securing your personal laptop or enabling two-factor authentication on your NPM account. Your entire automated build pipeline is now the primary attack surface.
And the Miasma malware doesn't just stop at the initial infection. It is self-propagating. Once it infects a machine, it actively hunts for other stored NPM tokens in the local environment and uses them to publish further backdoored versions of whatever packages that machine has access to.
That self-propagating nature is terrifying for enterprise environments. Because it harvests a wide range of cloud and infrastructure credentials, the official guidance is that any environment that installed these specific Red Hat Cloud Services packages on or after June 1st must be considered fully compromised. Immediate credential rotation across the board is required.
It raises a very difficult question about our current defenses. Are registry-level protections like mandated two-factor authentication or basic automated scanning sufficient when the attack is coming from a trusted automated CI/CD pipeline? The registry essentially waved this malware right through the front door.
It seems clear they aren't sufficient. When the pipeline itself is weaponized, the cryptographic signatures and provenance attestations that we rely on actually work against us, falsely assuring downstream users that the 4.2 megabyte obfuscated payload is officially sanctioned by Red Hat.
This is going to force a major rethink of how we monitor and audit GitHub Actions workflows. It is not enough to trust the OIDC connection. There has to be deep behavioral analysis of what the pipeline is actually compiling and pushing in real time.
All right, that is quite enough heavy infrastructure and security news for one day. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We have a couple of interesting feature requests bubbling up in the AI coding space, a very weird exploit over at Meta, and some growing friction between bot protection and privacy browsers.
First up, token usage visibility has officially become the number one most requested feature category for Anthropic's Cloud Code CLI. GitHub issue 33978 recently consolidated over 10 separate open requests for a built-in Claude usage command.
It makes total sense. Claude Code operates agentically, meaning it autonomously reads files and iterates on tasks, which can consume a massive amount of tokens very quickly. Right now, it generates local JSON-L transcripts with detailed metrics, but without a native dashboard, developers are basically driving without a fuel gauge and getting hit with surprise bills.
Third-party tools and VS Code extensions are popping up to parse these logs, but relying on community scripts for sensitive token and cost data isn't ideal for enterprise users. It will be interesting to see if Anthropic prioritizes cost transparency over frictionless agent performance.
Sticking with Claude Code, another highly discussed GitHub issue, number 64542, is asking for a way to declutter the MCP, or Model Context Protocol, panel within the terminal interface.
The issue here is that Claude.ai account level integrations like Figma, Asana, or Box are automatically being loaded into the CLI environment by default. The environment variable that controls this is currently an all or nothing toggle.
Right, which means developers are forced to either accept a cluttered interface that wastes context window tokens on irrelevant tools, or disable the ecosystem entirely. It highlights the tension between a unified consumer account experience and the granular control required for specialized developer environments.
It really is goofy. Attackers are using a VPN to match a target's location and then simply tricking the AI support assistant into sending a verification code to an email address controlled by the attacker. This completely bypasses two-factor authentication and locks the original user out.
And it gets worse. To bypass the identity verification steps, like video selfies, attackers are reportedly just feeding the AI animated photos scraped from the target's public feed. It raises serious questions about Meta replacing human support teams with automated agents that have total authority over account recovery.
Finally, Cloudflare Turnstile, which is marketed as a privacy-respecting alternative to traditional CAPTCHAs, has begun requiring WebGL-based browser fingerprinting to verify that users are human.
This is causing major headaches for privacy-focused browsers. WebKit GTK-based browsers and Firefox users with strict privacy settings are getting caught in infinite loops because they intentionally block or randomize the hardware data Turnstile is trying to read.
Cloudflare's own diagnostic page now explicitly states that tools which randomize fingerprinting make you look like a bot. It really forces users into a tough corner. You either surrender your hardware anonymity, or you get blocked for accessing large portions of the modern web.
And that brings us to the end of today's Narrowcast Tech Briefing. From decade-old CPUs running state-of-the-art AI to automated pipelines pushing malware, it has been a wild day in the industry.
Thank you all for listening. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the GitHub issues, security advisories, and research blogs we discussed today. There is a lot of technical detail in those source documents.
We will be back tomorrow with more updates and analysis from the edge of the tech world. Until then, stay safe, rotate your credentials, and keep building.